This is the Tuesday, March 30th edition of Daily Wager Podcast. We're wrapping up the Elite Eight today and talking some NBA as well. A handful of our favorite plays from tonight's slate. And like always, we'll get you in and out in under 10 minutes with everything you need to know.
The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Welcome to the Daily Wager Podcast, presented by DraftKings, America's top-rated daily fantasy app. I'm Doug Kazarian, joined by Tyler Foljam. And Tyler, before we get into tonight, how about the point spread drama in both Elite Eight games last night?
Yeah, I mean, let's start with Oregon State and Houston. I was, like many, all over Oregon State in the first half. That looked like it was drawing completely dead, but Oregon State in the second half rallies. I know the Beavers didn't win, but as far as I'm concerned, Doug Kazarian, they got the dub because they were able to get it within six there against Houston late, winning that second half by 11 points after being outscored by 17 in the first half last night. So gladly take that one. And then the Arkansas-Baylor matchup, Baylor being able to cover that one, winning by nine with a couple of late buckets there. I had Arkansas in the points when I was taking a side. I did think the game would go over, which it did. So I was happy with that, but certainly some drama, even though the games weren't necessarily close in as far as straight up winner is concerned, drama as far as the markets were concerned.
Yeah, the Beavers hit that three in the final 10 seconds. It's crazy because they were down close to 20, but then they tie it with less than 4 minutes to go. So both sides ready to complain about a bad beat, but you got that quote unquote meaningless three down the stretch, which is pretty funny. All things considered. So Oregon State closes the year covering 14 of its last 15. So well done. Incredible run. But Houston cuts down the nets, as does Baylor. And the Bears cover at the end. A lot of drama there. Second half line as well. So a lot of fun. Not even to mention the UConn game. You and I were talking before we started taping. That was crazy with the no foul. But let's turn the page. Look to tonight's action. And we've both basically been on this USC team. We think it's going to be Gonzaga's biggest test.
Yeah, I do think even if Gonzaga completes their mission, goes undefeated and wins a national championship, I think the most difficult test they're going to face on that journey, on that road, is this matchup with USC, with Evan Mobley specifically, what he can do dominating the paint. And that's what makes Gonzaga's offense so good, is Drew Timmy is so good around the rim with his footwork. Jalen Suggs can get to the rim. They have so many guys that can just get easy buckets in the lane or get there and create easy shots for other players on the perimeter. And USC defends the paint as well as anyone in the country with Mobley and Andy Enfield's defense. So I'm going to take USC plus the points, 8.5 right now. It's starting to feel a little public the way that Florida State was over the weekend, but I really do think USC has the ability to go all the way. If they beat Gonzaga tonight, I wouldn't be completely shocked. I think, like I said, it's going to be the toughest test the Zags face. How are you feeling about USC? Are you getting concerned, Doug, about how popular they're becoming at this number?
Yeah, move from 9.5 to 8.5. Obviously not a key number, but notable move, especially a Gonzaga team that's been trucking opponents and covering their tournament games. I do like USC. Look, Gonzaga, I've said all along, I've talked to some really sharp guys. They've opened my eyes. The biggest weakness for them is rim protection, and I think USC has the bigs, the athleticism around the rim. The Bulldogs' wins earlier this year over kind of top-tier teams like Iowa and Virginia, they don't have the athletic bigs that some of these other teams present. So I think Gonzaga's like competition really gets tougher starting here. I even when I mapped out my Final Four, in my bracket, I anticipate this matchup carrying a lot. I think the Trojans will score at will. I mean, Zags give up points around the rim. They just take the ball out of the hoop and try to run and score. I mean, their offense is elite. Now, USC's been trucking opponents, too, this postseason. They've been great. We know about the Pac-12, what they've done. Andy Enfield, 10-0, ATS all-time in the tournament, best all-time mark. That obviously goes back to his Florida Gulf Coast days. My official play on this is the first half over. If the Zags do continue this kind of beatdown of opponents, you wonder if the second half just – kind of grinds to a halt like we've seen recent Gonzaga games. Even some of the games yesterday, Baylor really taking the air out of the ball with 6 minutes to go. So I prefer the first half over in that regard. I do like USC. 8.5 is my cutoff point. Not 8, though. I would not do 8. You need that extra hook, as we learned yesterday. Every little half point matters. So, and then there's always the live wagering options as well. Let's talk about Michigan UCLA. I've been riding this Bruins team a little bit, but I'm a little concerned it's fool's gold in terms of just who they've played. Abilene Christian, I thought BYU was way overseeded, and Alabama couldn't make a free throw. So I'm a little worried that this could be not that exciting of a game. How are you seeing it?
Yeah, I would lean Michigan if I played a side, but I'm looking at the total, and I do think 136 is a little low. Even though neither team plays at a breakneck pace, they're pretty efficient offense. Michigan has averaged 81 points per game in this tournament, and that's without Isaiah Livers. UCLA has averaged 70 points per game in regulation. They've had two overtime games as well where they scored 80-plus points. And against Abilene Christian, the best defensive team in this tournament by many metrics, they scored 67 points. They can shoot it from deep at 37%. Michigan can as well at 38-plus percent. So I think 136 is a little bit too low because I do think Michigan is going to drive the pace for UCLA to a little bit quicker as they play catch-up. I think Michigan wins. So I think in the second half especially, UCLA won't be drained as much time out of the clock because they'll need buckets quickly. So the possessions will become a little more frenetic. So 136 just seems a little bit too low for two teams that are averaging, when you combine their totals, north of 150 points in this tournament.
Yeah, this line came down to 6.5. If it gets to 6, I'm in on Michigan. I still kind of lean in that way. I think the Wolverines have too much size. I actually like a Dickinson points prop over 13.5. Love what the Bruins have done. They know their identity. McCronin's had some interesting comments just saying that we trust each other, things like that. They go through Hawkes. They go through Ju Zhang as well. They just play solid. I just wonder if Michigan is just that much bigger and that much more solid. So I would lay the 6.5 if I had to. I like the Dickinson prop. And maybe even a team total to follow your lead there, 71.5 for the Wolverines. But this one seed, many thought they'd be bounced early with the Livers injury, but here they are.
Yep.
Maybe one win away from facing Gonzaga. We'll see about that. Light card in the NBA. I like the Hawks getting 6.5. Look, I'm on the Suns team to win the Pacific at plus 800 or so, then 550 and 5-1. They just kind of don't bury teams. It's 6 now with the Hawks. I'm okay at 6. There's a couple 6.5 still out there in the market. I see one at FanDuel right now. I wouldn't go lower than 6, but I just feel like it's this Hawks have been really much more impressive since the coaching change. They got smacked by the Nuggets. I think it was just an altitude road trip thing.
Yeah.
I think we got a good bounce back performance from Atlanta here. Obviously, they lost to Sacramento and the Clippers. So they basically like won the games they're supposed to during this run. I mean, it's like Thunder, Cleveland, Rockets, you know, just like not that impressive. But I think they keep this within the number. 6 would be my cutoff point.
Well, kind of a correlation play to that, since you like the underdog with the points, is I like the under in this game. 220.5 seems a little bit too high for two teams that don't play at a fast pace. They're 22nd or slower in terms of pace. We know how good Phoenix is defensively, 4th in defensive rating, and the Hawks have gotten much better defensively under Nate McMillan, allowing 104.7 points per game since McMillan took over. They were allowing 113.1 while they had Lord Pierce at the helm. So I see this being a 105-100 type of game. No matter who wins, I think both teams are going to kind of be under that 110 benchmark because the Suns like to move at a glacial pace, and they're so good defensively. Trae Young doesn't play as fast as you would think. The Hawks don't play as fast as you would maybe think, given Trae Young and his ability. But Chris Paul is such a tough matchup for their best offensive weapon. And I think he's going to have a kind of a not a bad night, but a less efficient night, so to speak. So under 220.5 is my play. I like that one most in the NBA.
All right, just to put a bow on it, we have a couple more ladies games tonight. I mean, it's hard not to like Vic Schaefer and Longhorns plus 8.5. We'll just see if there's a hangover there. I'm not sure. And gosh, Louisville catching 10.5 is tempting as well. And by the way, Tyler, we got to talk about the Sabres real quick. They were up 3-0 in the third period on the verge of snapping their 17-game losing streak. They give up 3 goals in the third period, lose in overtime. They were minus 2,500 on the money line at Caesars William Hill. The comeback was 11-1. And the 11-1 cashes. So,
wow,
that's pretty painful. 18 straight. The Sabres back on the ice tomorrow. Maybe we'll discuss that, have a play on that in the podcast or daily wager. But we're 6 Eastern all week on the Tube, except for Thursday, which is opening day. So we are on at 11 a.m. Eastern to set the table for baseball. And, yep, baseball season snuck up on everyone. But we'll be ready to rock. Until then, we'll catch you back here on the podcast tomorrow.